Sermon is called The Fourfold Witness, Part 2. We went over the first part in the last sermon. From the book of John, chapter 5, verse 39 through 47, as we continue to go through this amazing book, the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. This is the same conversation that Jesus started back with these religious leaders back in verse 16. After Jesus had healed a man by the pool in Bethesda who was crippled for 38 years, instead of these religious leaders being moved by this miracle, they sought to kill Jesus because he healed a man on the Sabbath and because Jesus claimed that he is the Son of God, God in the flesh. These religious leaders did not believe Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, even though all the evidence was right before their eyes. So Jesus gives them another chance to believe in him, and he brings forth his fourth witness, the Holy Scriptures, God's word that testifies of him. So let's take a look at our passage this morning. Let's take a look at verses 39 and 40. Verses 39 and 40. Jesus is going to do all the talking here all the way through. This is a long conversation that he's having with them. It may have taken several weeks, days, weeks that he was talking to him. It may take us several months or years to get through this book. Jesus tells them in verse 39, listen carefully. He tells these religious leaders, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Pretty strong words from the Lord to these religious leaders. Remember, the reason for John writing this, the Apostle John writes this gospel because he wants to convince his readers that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and by believing in him, you may have life in his name. Jesus is saying the same thing, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life in my name. Jesus told them before in our last passage, he said that John the Baptist, he bore witness of me. He said, my miracles, my signs, my wonders bear witness of me, the second witness. And he even says, my Father testifies of me, his third witness. And now he brings forth the Holy Scriptures, God's word that testifies of him. But listen to what he says. He tells these Pharisees, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. These men were spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. Now, what I mean by that? They believed in their mind, but not the heart. They believed in the mind, but not the heart. God's word was not abiding in them. God's word was not abiding in their heart. Jesus tells them, you search the scriptures, you read the scriptures, you study the scriptures, but you have missed the message. You have missed the message. Jesus tells them, you search the scriptures from your own point of view, from your own theories, your own beliefs, your own thoughts and ideas, not God's. Because you, if you did, you would believe, Jesus tells them, that I am who I say that I am. Because the scriptures, he says, they testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life in my name. Sadly, millions of people are in the same boat in the world. They are not willing to come to Christ that they may have life in his name. That's why we've got to keep sharing our faith. Amen? We've got to share the gospel. Back in verses 37 and 38 of our last sermon, the same passage, I want to share it with you again on the screen. It ties into what Jesus is saying. As I said, this is a long conversation. I want to share this, verse 37 and 38. Jesus said to these same people, "The Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form." Here's why. Look at verse 38. Because you do not have his word abiding in you. Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. This must have crushed these men's egos, these Pharisees, these religious leaders. Jesus is hitting them with the truth. These religious leaders, these Pharisees at the time and Sadducees, they spent their lives studying the Old Testament scriptures daily. And Jesus tells them, "You have never heard my Father's voice." Can you imagine? Can you imagine being there? Here's the thing. They understood that God speaks through the Word of God. They understood this. And Jesus tells these religious unbelievers, "You never heard my Father's voice in the scriptures." This must have killed them. Must have killed their egos. These religious leaders, these Pharisees, were full of themselves. Jesus says to them, "Yes, you read the scriptures, but my Father, you've never heard his voice in the scriptures. You do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe." In other words, if you do not see me, listen carefully. Jesus is telling these religious leaders, if you do not see me in the scriptures, you've missed the message. God has not spoken to you. Wow. Powerful. He says, you do not have God's word abiding in you, living in your heart. He tells them, right? Now listen, we all own Bibles. Well, at least I hope you do. But it's not about owning your Bible. It's about reading it, amen? It's about God's word coming alive in your heart and abiding in you. This is what Jesus, our Lord, is telling us. It's about his word abiding in you, in the heart, not just the mind, but in the heart, his word abiding in you. Right? I've told people before, I said, you know, your Bible isn't a knickknack for your bureau, right? It's to read, amen? It is to read his word abiding in us. Remember what Jesus said, chapter 8, same book, chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, he said, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And what does he say right after that? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you abide in my word, you are indeed my follower. My word abides in your heart. Right, we know Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It's hard to have faith if you're not in the word of God. If you're running in the world and that's all you get every day and it's all you see every day and you're not in the word, it's hard to have faith when trials and tribulations come if you're not in God's word. Paul wrote, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Jesus tells these men in the scriptures, he tells them, hey, fellas, The scriptures are all about me. And you are unwilling to come to me. You do not have God's word abiding in you. You know what Jesus is telling them? You think you know God, but you don't. These are religious leaders. These are men who studied the scriptures daily. Jesus hits them between the eyes. He says, you think you know the Father, but you don't. Because you believe in the mind, not the heart. You believe in the mind, but not the heart. You know, like those the men that John wrote about back in chapter 2 that we went over. I want to share that with you again. At the end of the chapter 2, verse 23 and 25, I'll share it with you on the screen. This is the same group. It could fit in the same group with these Pharisees. Listen to this. This is very powerful. We went through this a while ago. John wrote, he said, many believed in Jesus' name when they saw the signs which he did. But look at this. But Jesus did not commit himself to them. Why? Because he knew all men. And he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for Jesus knew what was in man. Jesus knew what was in their heart, and it wasn't him. Therefore, it says Jesus did not commit himself to them. In other words, Jesus did not receive them because he knew. Listen, they believed in the mind, but not the heart. It's a heart thing with God. Amen? It's a heart thing with God. Believing in the heart. They believed in the signs. They saw the miracles. Oh, whoa, that's wonderful. Wow. But they didn't believe in the person. They were as spiritually blind as the Pharisees. They believed in the signs, but not the person. You know, you guys have heard me say before that we have one thing to offer God, and that's our heart. And that's exactly what he wants. That's it. That's all we bring, is we have our heart. And God said, that's exactly what I want. I want your heart. I don't want you to have me in your mind. I want you to have me in the heart. Saving faith comes from the heart. Amen? Saving faith comes from the heart. That's how one becomes saved, born again. It's a heart thing with God. Now, I do believe it's possible for a person to read the scriptures often and even be able to throw out a couple verses here and there, their favorite verses, but never hear God's voice. I do believe that is possible. They have not heard God speak to them through his word, because God's word, one, because God's word is not abiding in them, okay? Hard to hear God speak to you in the scriptures if his word's not abiding in you, for one. And two, because they read God's word from an intellectual standpoint, not a spiritual standpoint. And they come up with their own point of views, their own theories, their own beliefs, their own thoughts and ideas. Not God's. Not God's. You could have a master's degree in theology. You could have a PhD. You could have an ABC. DEF. And never hear God speak to you. These religious leaders, they read the scriptures, they came up with their own views, their own theories, their own beliefs, their own thoughts and ideas, instead of letting the scriptures speak to them and to their heart spiritually. I came across a saying this week. I even posted it on our church Facebook. I want to share it with you. Listen carefully. Never change the Bible to make it agree with what you believe. Change what you believe until it agrees with the Bible. Amen. I read that. I said amen 5 times. Amen, 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 amen. I said, Michelle, we got to put that on the Facebook. I like that. We got to post that one. How true. Never change the Bible to make it agree with what you believe. Change what you believe until it agrees with the Bible. Do you know who helps us understand God's word, right? The Holy Spirit that lives within the believer. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us understand God's word. Without the Holy Spirit, the natural man cannot understand the word of God. Why? It's foolish to them. It's not in the heart, right? It may have gotten their mind, but not their heart, right? Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Listen to what Paul wrote to them. These were very carnal men, very natural men. They had God in their mind, not the heart. Paul writes to them, and he says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, understand them, because they are spiritually discerned," Paul said, spiritually dead. That's these men we're reading about. Let's take a look at verse 41 through 43 in our passage. Jesus said, "I don't receive honor from men." Then Jesus said to them this. Look at this. He tells these men, "But I know you. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you." He's laying it on thick with these men. "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me." Tragic. Not to receive Jesus. Tragic. "If another comes in his own name, you will receive him." Jesus told them, "I know you." Just like he knows everything about us. He says, "I know you." Like he told the seven churches in Revelation, right? What did he write? The one thing he wrote to every single church in those letters, he said, "I know the good and the bad. I know what you do." He says, "I know your works." He told every single one of those seven churches, "I know your works." And he tells these men, "I know you." Jesus saying, "I know what's in your heart, and you do not have the love of God in you." Jesus tells them. Remember, these are the same men who have been persecuting him. They've sought to kill him for claiming that he is the Son of God, God in the flesh. Back in verse 23, Jesus said, "He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Well, that's very important to know. Jesus said, "He who does not honor me, the Son, does not honor the Father." He tells them, he says, "You think you're honoring God, but you're not, because you don't honor the Son. Therefore, you do not have the love of God in you, because I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive." You will receive the false prophets. He's telling them, the Antichrist, you'll receive him, but reject me, says the Lord. Jesus predicts that they will fall for the devil's deception, which they had, Satan himself, but reject the one, listen, the one God sent to save them. They rejected. Can you imagine? The one that God the Father sent to save them, they reject. They were spiritually dead, condemned under the sway of the devil. Tragic. Jesus told these same religious unbelievers in John 8, 23 and 24. He told them, he says, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he." You will die in your sins. I don't think Jesus could be any clearer to these men with his words. Many false religions do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh. And Scripture tells us if they don't repent, they will die in their sins. Tragic. If you have anybody in your family that belongs to a false religion, oh, I just beg you that you would share the true gospel with them. Let's take a look at verse 44 and 45. Jesus continues. Remember, Jesus is doing all the talking here to these religious leaders. He says, "How can you believe?" He said, "Who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God. Do you think, he says, that I shall accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. Well, they must have been furious at this. These men live by the five books of the Bible, the Torah, all Moses' writings. They put all their faith and trust in Moses. And Jesus tells them, do you think that I shall accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust for your salvation. Jesus tells them, how can you say that you believe when he also said, how can you say that you believe if you are always seeking honor from one another? These guys love the honor. Oh, yeah, I prayed 40 times today. Oh, I did 50. Oh, yeah, I stand down in a corner for 3 hours. Well, I did four. These were these men. They were dead men inside, right? They look so holy on the outside, so dirty on the inside, right? Long robes, walking out, holy as ever. Oh, I prayed all day. But they were dead. They were spiritually dead men. They were of the devil. Jesus tells them, you're always seeking approval from men, not God. That's how big their egos were. Always looking for praise from other men. John wrote in 12:43, it says that these religious leaders loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And Jesus said to him, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust for your salvation. They were trusting in the law of Moses for their salvation. What does that tell you? They believed in a works-based gospel, just like all the other false religions in the world. A works-based gospel is straight out of hell. A human achievement gospel is straight out of hell. And the sad part is, many believe in it. Many believe in it. Listen carefully. You've heard me say this before. The minute you add your virtue to your salvation, you're saying Jesus didn't do enough on the cross. Can you imagine? That's what you're doing when you add your virtue to it, your works. It's not Jesus plus my works. God knew better than to trust us. Right? He didn't look down from heaven and say, hey, son, nice job. If I can only get them to do 20%, we're good. He knew he couldn't trust us. The Son paid it in full. He paid your sin debt in full. We sing in the hymn, right? We sing that hymn. Nothing in my hands do I bring. What's the rest? Simply to the cross I cling. That's it. You and I are getting into heaven because of what Jesus did. Amen? He satisfied the demand of God's justice. Period. So many Christians want to add their good works to their salvation. Don't do it. The minute you do that, you're saying Jesus didn't do enough. He did it all by love and grace. He did it all. It's just Jesus, right? Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he told them, the Galatians started preaching to the church, oh, we got to do this for our salvation. We got to do this. Yeah, it's about Jesus. We got to do this. Paul said, don't do that. He wrote to him, he said, it's not Jesus plus what you do. It's just Jesus. Don't start falling for these false things. It's just Jesus. Place all your faith in him. The Bible clearly states, we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. Amen? We're saved by grace through faith in Christ, not of works. Right? Saving faith produces good works, right? Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:10, he said, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has prepared all your good works. All those good things you're doing out there in Jesus' name, bearing fruit in his name, God's already prepared it for you to do. So it's already planned. It's already planned. All those good things you do out in Jesus' name, God has already put it on your heart to go do it. That's why you do it. God puts it in the heart. I see Bruce out here Tuesday mornings, cutting the grass out back, sweating, 90 degrees out. God put it on his heart to come and cut his grass. I see Gail out there weed whacking in the summer, cleaning up. God put it on her heart to come do it. God has prepared our good works in Christ Jesus. Jesus tells these religious leaders, he says, you're trusting in Moses, the law of Moses for your salvation, your works. And look what he says. He says, and Moses is the one that's going to accuse you to the Father. Can you imagine? You've been putting all your faith and trust in Moses and the law, following the law perfectly, and Moses is the one that's going to accuse you to the Father. Right? And you guys have heard me say this before. God's law was put in place to expose our sin, not to save us. Because none of us could follow the law. Right? I mean, one sin, you can end up in hell. I don't know about you guys. I used mine up years ago. Right? The law was put in place to expose our sin. Why? So that we would seek a Savior. Knowing that how wretched we once were, we would seek after God for forgiveness and place our faith and trust in his Son. That's what the law was put into place. These men thought that they followed the law perfectly, they could earn their way into heaven. Guess what? Not a one of them could. So they would have been dead in the water right there. So let's take a look at our final verses, verses 46 and 47. I love this. I love how Jesus ends. Look at what he tells them. Jesus tells them, he says, for if you believed in Moses, you would believe me. Look what he said. For he wrote about me personally. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe in my words? Wow. You search the scriptures daily. You read the scriptures daily. You study the scriptures daily, and they are all about me, says the Lord. And you don't believe me. Wow. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. You know what Jesus is saying? Moses wrote about me in Genesis. He says, I'm the breath of life. Moses wrote about me in the book of Exodus. I'm the Passover lamb. Moses wrote about me in Leviticus. I'm the high priest. Moses wrote about me in the book of Numbers. I'm the cloud by day and the fire by night. Moses wrote about me in Deuteronomy. I'm the Messiah, the prophet to come to save. And you've missed the message. And you study the scriptures daily. Brings these men right down. Listen, I told you this before. God is in the business of humbling those who exalt themselves and exalting the humble. And he's bringing these men right down where they belong. Moses wrote about me. I could go on and on and on. But they live by the Torah. And he says, you missed the message. This is all about me. When God wrote the Bible, he had two agendas. And that agenda was for us to focus on one person and two events. The one person, his Son, Jesus Christ. The two events, his first coming, which he already came, and his second coming, he's coming back. That's God's agenda throughout the scriptures. The Bible, we could break the Bible up, and I'll close in a minute here. We could break the Bible up into five parts. The Old Testament, Jesus is predicted. And the Gospels, Jesus is revealed. In the Acts of Apostles, Jesus is preached. And in the Epistles, Jesus is explained. In the book of Revelation, Jesus expected. Did you notice that? From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord, our Savior. The Bible is about real life stories, about real life people, and Jesus Christ is all throughout the scriptures. From the very beginning to the end, He tells these men, you've missed the message. This is all about me. He's basically telling them, it's not about you. It's about me. The scriptures point us to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the main character of the Bible. When God speaks to us through the scriptures, I want you to know this. When God speaks to us through the scriptures, he's always pointing us to the Son. Always pointing us to his Son. Father is always pointing to his Son, whom he loves dearly, his only begotten Son. Listen, God's will for our life and the world's life is that we would repent and believe in his Son and place our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone to be saved. That's God's will for you and me and for the world. That we would place all our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. And listen, and we would live for him. We would live for him. Right? What did Jesus say? I know I repeat this verse a lot, and you guys probably have memorized it. I hope you have. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, remember, coming back in the file cabinet, if anyone desires to come after me, he must deny himself and follow me, take up his cross and follow me daily. Right? When you, the day you surrendered your life to Christ, right? What'd you say? Lord, it's all about you now, not me. I'm going to deny myself. It's no more me, me, me. Me, myself, and I. Self, self, self. Jesus says, no, listen, you count up the cost before you come to me because I'm looking for a commitment. He says, you must deny yourself and live for me. And I will guarantee you the day you stand before Jesus Christ, which we all are going to. One day we are all going to stand before Jesus, the high judge. And you will be so glad that you placed all your faith and trust in him and you'll live for him. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word this morning. Lord, I thank you for being active in our lives. Father, please help us align our hearts with your will. Please, Father, help us do this. That we align our heart with your heart. That we would follow after you all the days of our lives until we stand before you one day and see you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.